We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
The Giants just went and screwed up my whole rundown this morning.
so much for a what we thought we were going to have a boring Farhan off season of, you know, 1 year deals and little things like this and that. Hey man, welcome to the excitement.
I had a list of things to talk about, and number one was going to be, you know, the question is does Farhan stick around, or that do they move away from him? They answered that question very early this morning.
They did, yeah.
And I texted you and Brian and Jay, and the first text said that Farhan was going to be relieved of his duties. And then I sent that, and then like a second later, the Posey announcement. And so it was like we didn't even get to think about what was going to happen. So you've been sleeping under a rock, Buster Posey is the new baseball operations guy for the Giants. He's replacing Farhan, president of baseball ops. Buster Posey, current co-owner, minority owner, going to the Hall of Fame. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame as the president of baseball operations. That's wild.
Hey, that's... You want a selling point to come to an organization? Hey, man, the guy who's running the show has won three titles on the field, not three titles in the front office, but three titles on the field. He just needs to go in every single meeting with the three rings on one hand and just kind of stroke his chin a little bit with that hand. And Hall of Famer, most likely. I mean, we think that's a debate. That's
guy.
Yeah,
he's got it. He's. I mean, go in.
You don't come across a catcher like that very often and say, "Well, we're not quite sure." I mean, when it comes to catchers, Buster Posey's got the resume to do it, because you don't just grab any catcher off the street and you know, they don't. Tons of catchers don't make the Hall of Fame, so you got to be special like Buster. So,
yeah.
But yeah, when you sent me that text, so I'm not on Twitter anymore. So when you sent me that text, I said in all caps, Buster for president. And right after that, you said something along the lines that made me think, oh, shoot, they did do that. Like, I didn't even know that happened. I just said Buster for president, kind of joking. And then when you said, uh-oh, this is happening. And I was like, well, really? So it's kind of a shock to me. I don't know. A lot of fans want it. So it's kind of, it's fun to see, but we'll get deep into that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to mention one thing specifically, the Thompson to Clark Twitter X account. I shut that down. I sunset it mostly because I want everything to kind of be directed through the BSPN accounts. And we kept Thompson to Clark because that was like the original idea. It was like we were just going to do Giants, and then I started doing more stuff, Niners and Warriors, and we may even do some Valkyrie stuff if we can get some folks, but maybe find somebody to do Valkyrie stuff. So anyway, we had the two accounts running. We had BSPN, we had Thompson and Clark, and I was like, okay, this doesn't really make sense. Now that Brad is off of Twitter, it doesn't really make sense to have a specific show Twitter account. So we deprecated that. Everything is through BSPN Media. So if you want to follow us at BSPN Media, we will be posting a lot more. We will be tweeting. We'll be tweeting. We'll be posting content. We'll be posting photos, videos, podcasts, everything at that channel. So definitely follow us there at BSPN Media. And yeah, it's just going to be, you know, I am testing out the premium X accounts because it allows us to stream this show to X. Without the premium account, they kind of locked us out of streaming there. And you get some stuff with reply boosts and not a whole lot that I'm thinking of that can really help us, but we'll test some stuff and we'll see if it's valuable to keep the premium account. So as of right now, I'm only streaming to my personal account because every time you like make an adjustment on your account, if you are a premium account, you kind of have to go through the verification process, which makes sense to me because they don't want people being honest accounts, then getting the check mark and then becoming absolute bad people and posting nudity and all that stuff. Right. I'm sure that's why they do it. So that account, I changed some stuff in the profile the other day, and so went back under review. So we're only going to my account today, but in the future, we should be going to the BSPN Media account as well. And it's just easier for our YouTube account and our Twitter account. Our Instagram account is unfortunately, we have that little underscore in there because somebody else had BSPN Media. So that's the only one. So I wanted to get that out of the way. We're full speed ahead with BSPN Media as a place to remember. And then the website, of course, that's where everything just gets funneled through the website. So let's talk about this. Well, first, let's talk about the Farhan scenario. Had this not happened today, and had we not had Buster Posey being named as president of baseball ops, what were your thoughts on Farhan coming back or not coming back?
I think we talked about it over the last month or so that it could happen. But then again, who do you replace him with? We were thinking outsiders. The rumor was that management was kind of happy with the way the minor league system was going for the most part. Talent development in the minors, especially AAA over the last two seasons. But as fans, I think personally, as a fan, I was getting a little tired. Here you are going to finish around 500 again. 5 out of 6 years, you don't make the playoffs. 107 wins probably kept them around for an extra year. Had that team finished 500 and not made the playoffs that year, maybe you're looking at the end of last year was it. You know, Kapler and him go.
Yeah.
So as I, you know, again, as a fan, I think I was growing tired, and you and I have a longer leash when it comes to this type of stuff. We're patient. We're kind of, you know, we're fine, we're not
lunatic fringe kind of fans.
Yeah, exactly. We like to watch things develop. You know, things take time, and we're older dudes. We know how it goes. You got to bake, man. You got to bake, and you got to let things simmer and test things out. But I think it got to the point now where we're in, year six and still finishing around 500, and you don't have that marquee free agent that you got. You don't have that, you know, AAA star that came up and became a major league star. You don't have that. Elliot Ramos is he had a great season. We don't know what he's going to be next year. We're not there yet. You know, had he come up 3 years ago and was now hitting, you know, 30 home runs and hitting 300 and, you know, 50 doubles or whatever it is and playing good defense. Okay. Then we say, hey, develop this. But again, that wasn't even his draft pick. You got to remember that too.
Yeah.
Ramos wasn't even his draft pick. Do we have guys coming up? Yeah, you got Birdsong, who made his debut this year. You've got Kyle Harrison, who they drafted. You've got Bryce Eldridge, who we talked about this last week, may be up next year, but the best bet for him is, I mean, the kid's 19. He's going to play 20 years old next year. He's going to be in AAA.
Only Ken Griffey Jr. comes up at that age.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's the Brewers kid? Churios.
Yeah, Churios.
How old is he? He's pretty young too, right?
I think he came up and he was 19 and now he's 20. And didn't Bryce Harper, I think, came up at 19. But you're talking about Bryce Harper. I mean, you're talking about a generational talent. Bryce Eldridge, good. Let him simmer. We just talked about that.
Bryce Harper's parents were like, you don't need to finish your last year of high school. Let's just go play.
I mean, the guy was hitting like 450-foot bombs in his, high school, whatever it was, his showcase that he was doing. Yeah. It was something insane. I was trying to pump myself up for this offseason, but then you start thinking, is it going to be a little bit of the same? Are free agents not sold on the Giants? Is the whole thing stale? Are they going to come in and look at Farhan and say, well, Farhan couldn't land Judge. He couldn't land Yamamoto, couldn't land Shohei, couldn't land Harper. You go on and on and on. And so I think a change had to be made. I'm all for it. It's going to be a super exciting offseason. And we'll get more into it, but I think Farhan was like a 90% baseball ops guy. I think you and I think Buster Posey is going to be like a 50 to 60% baseball ops guy. He's going to surround himself with talent.
And we kind of said this when that story came out, that Buster actually was the vehicle that got the Chapman deal done. It was like, it would be great if Buster was like the face and Farhan was the guy who was doing everything. But that's, you know, Farhan probably doesn't want to be that. Like, he wants to be the lead guy. He doesn't want to be the part two or the B side of something. But here's going to be interesting to me. Okay. Buster Posey has one of the cleanest reputations of any professional athlete. There are some people who probably were very bothered when he decided to sit out the COVID year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there were people who were like, come on, man. Like, we've been, you know, we've been behind this guy and now he decides to opt out. Now, that was probably the best thing for him because he comes back the next year and has one last fantastic year before retiring.
Right.
The guy was, we thought his career was going to be over in his second year of his season, possibly when he gets just trucked at home plate. Comes back, MVP, 3 World Series championships, all of that good stuff. Cleanest reputation going. What happens if the Giants finish second in the Juan Soto sweepstakes again?
You know, that's another one, because what happened when the Giants finished second in the Shohei sweepstakes? You knew that was coming. He's going to L.A. I think Juan Soto is going to New York. I'm not going to be shocked if the Giants finish second again and are used as a leap pad to say, hey, you know, here's all the money we're giving you. And then he goes back to New York and New York goes, yeah, well, we'll go above that. I think Juan Soto is a New York guy now. I think he wants to be in New York. It's kind of his scene.
I have a Mets fan buddy who thinks that the Yankees have a limit to how much they can spend, and he thinks that the Mets are going to jump in there and steal Soto.
Yeah, Cohen's going to come in and just give him the moon. I mean, that's it. Can the Giants do that? Yeah, maybe. They probably could. Do you think they go harder after Snell? Do you think Snell looks now and goes, well, Farhan's not there? And, you know, I like Buster.
Well, we're going to talk. Snell's going to be topic two because I have some thoughts
on how he finished out
his season. But that is out there, right? Buster Posey as one of the saviors of the franchise, the leader of three World Series championships. We knew he was going to be at least a very good baseball player when they drafted him.
Right.
What tells us that he's going to be good at this job? I'm really unsure. You know, the way that I thought of it, and this is where I do have a little bit of sympathy for Farhan, and it's that if you are on the board of directors at a company and the job of the board of directors is to, you know, make sure that the CEO is making sound decisions and, you know, making sure that, you know, things are going the right way. All of your money is invested in this company and you are the boss of the CEO essentially. And then the CEO comes up with a bad review. And one of the board members is just like, you know what? I'm just going to replace the CEO and I'm going to become the CEO. Like, that's what this is. But it's in the baseball ops side of things. And I'm sure, you know, Buster was much more involved this year. And we had the discussion on whether Andy Baggerly was correct in his assessment that Buster was the one that pushed that deal over, or, you know, the Susan Slusser, John Shea story was more along the lines of that the agent and Matt Chapman were pretty much in line with Farhan and they just needed like to cross the T's and dot the I and everything was done. And Farhan was in the, like, we still haven't heard. He was ailing. He was in the hospital for some reason. We haven't heard exactly what happened. I hope he's doing okay. So we have this story where there's sort of conflicting ideas about how much influence Buster had in that deal. And now, you know, you hear what Farhan said just a couple of just a little while ago. He was saying how, you know, all the advancements in the team were based on free agency and maybe we didn't do enough with the young players. And it's great for fans to hear that after 6 years or whatever, right? We're like, yeah, duh, that, you know, thanks for telling us now.
Yeah, we've been watching. We see.
But I do wonder if he, you know, that was kind of him telling us he knew that this was going to be over. So he was just admitting, you know, what people thought already. And as we kind of head into this Buster experience, my worry is that he just doesn't have any experience in it. And I'm watching the Twitter feed and I'm looking at all the folks who kind of deal in analytics. And I was telling you about my buddy Jarrett, who's on the Baseball Prospectus side, and he's like, this is wild that, but like, Buster hasn't done any of this stuff before and he just moves into this job. And then Baseball Jeff, what's Jeff's, Jeff Young, is that he came on the show Jeff one Young. Time yeah. And he sort of said something similar that, you know, it's just kind of a surprise that Buster's kind of jumped over the line in this instance. And like, you know, I sort of look at it, and we cover Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch here on We Want Winners. And John Lynch plays an interesting role with the 49ers in that, you know, Kyle gets final say, but Kyle and John Lynch kind of work together on decision-making and, you know, they don't necessarily work on the contracts because that's more Parag Marate's position. But I sort of look at Buster as maybe the John Lynch piece of it. I just don't know who the Kyle Shanahan is, and who they bring in to pair with Buster is going to be interesting. Because there was, I think it was Hank Shulman said, well, what about Kim, is it Ng? Kim Ng? And there are others who were throwing out other people like Billy Owens from the A's. And I'm like, those people would probably be really good matches, but don't they want their own president of baseball ops job? Like, isn't that what they're, do they want to be kind of the behind the scenes where to this fan base, Buster's the one who's going to get all the credit for all the good stuff, and they're going to get all the credit for the bad stuff. Like, that doesn't, I don't know if that's a power position for someone who's going to be a mover and shaker in this baseball ops world. Like, I just don't know if that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get where you're coming from. And I think that's where I was saying, like, if you look at Farhan, you know, his role as baseball head of baseball ops with the Giants, that was like a 90% baseball ops job. I think Buster's baseball ops job is going to be more like 50%, 60%. There's going to be that. And like you said, there's going to be a Kyle Shanahan, but it's not going to be Bob Melvin. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a Kim Ng or somebody like that.
Right.
And sure, do they want to be head of baseball ops? I mean, maybe a new title is created, you know, baseball head of baseball execs or something like that. And Kim Ng is that. Buster's going to be the guy who just basically makes sure that he hires the right people from the top down. They want more control. It's an owner position, and that, you know, that partial owner oversees baseball operations instead of the baseball ops guy reporting to the executive table. So I think that it's basically a way to get a representative owner with his hands in the baseball side of things. And there's nobody better to do that than Buster Posey. And when you look at the owners from top to bottom, that's the guy that you want to say, hey, if we're going to win games, I want to put the best people underneath me to do that. They're going to report to me, but I'm going to kind of leave it to them to run the show because I put them there to be head of scouting, to be head of international scouting and all the different areas that the Giants have. So I don't think it's going to be one of those things where Buster on, you know, trade deadline day has his phone ready to go and he's not sleeping because he's making deals. That's not what we're talking about here. There's going to be somebody underneath him. I mean, you know, like Pete Petilla came in and he's kind of the numbers guy. He's more the guy who's going to, you know, finish the deal, write up the numbers, the contracts, get everything right. But it all went through Farhan. I don't think the details are going to go through Buster Posey, I think, is what I'm getting at. I think it's just going to be kind of, again, a bridge to the ownership, head of baseball operations. I don't think this is going to be what we think it is in terms of every other team or what Farhan did. So I'm excited to see. I mean, this is the most excited I've been about about an executive upper management change in baseball. And yeah, I mean, how did we get super excited when, you know, Evans took over for Sabian? No, I mean, when Sabian took over for, oh gosh, I don't even remember. Was it
Al Rosen?
Al Rosen. I mean, yeah, I'm trying to remember the bridge at the time. I think it went Rosen. I don't think there was anybody between Rosen and Sabian. So like that type, I mean, did you and I geek out about that? No, we didn't.
No.
But this is,
we were also like teenagers back then.
Yeah, but still, that's you knew those were the guys who signed the players. So, but to look at this now and say, hey man, this is a guy who's won three championships, who's rookie of the year, who's played, you know, X amount of years in the majors, is going to go to the Hall of Fame. He knows what it takes to win, so he's going to trickle that down. You know, and again, I think Farhan, not to knock Farhan too much, but hey, it's a business and the Giants weren't winning. And so you're out of the business because, you know, for the time being, because you weren't winning. That's the end product. That's how you measure, you know, how things go. And yeah. I think there was one quote that I really didn't like. Let me see. I bookmarked it where Farhan was talking early on. Let's see if I can find it. He basically talked about how, you know, if we'd like to win, but if winning isn't the end product. Here it is. I think as an organization, we have to figure out our identity and not feel like just because a strategy is successful, it's the right thing for us. I mean, if a strategy is successful and you can win with that strategy, for me as a fan, that's the right thing. That's what I want to see. So for him to say it may not be the right thing for us, I don't know, man. So I want somebody a little more fluid. I think Buster Posey can be fluid because he knows times change, things change. You get to the All-Star break, your plan of having this great five-man rotation is now a two-man rotation because of injuries. Are you going to go out and get what you need to continue to compete for the rest of the season? I don't feel like Farhan did that. And from the interviews I've read today, players didn't think Farhan did that. Everybody was pissed that they traded Alex Cobb.
Yeah.
A lot of the players, the clubhouse was very angry about that. They were upset about how Tyro was handled. Instead of releasing him and letting him find another team, they threw him back down into AAA. The guy's been up with the big club for 4 years now, 3 years. So I think Buster is going to handle that type of stuff a little bit better, hopefully. So I don't know, man. So much excitement.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a boring off season. And here we are, like a day after the season ended, and I'm, let's go.
And that's part of the reason that they did it this way, right? And when you bring in Buster Posey to this fan base, that is the reason. And it is about making sure that as many people as possible keep their season tickets and as many people as possible are excited about the season. Now, here's a question, because this is a Pat Riley thing. You mentioned Buster bringing his three rings to the negotiating table, right? It's a Pat Riley thing. When he was recruiting LeBron James to join the Miami Heat, he kind of, I think he's got something like 9 rings or something that he's been associated with in the NBA, or it's like 7 or something like that.
That's insane.
Yeah. And so he kind of like, as he's trying to secure the deal, he kind of rolls out all these rings on the table. Cause it's really about, is this what you want? Because if you don't, then maybe we're not the right fit for you.
Yeah.
And Buster being that guy, I'm sure will be helpful, but Buster was also that guy when he was playing and he was called into action to kind of help them bring in and secure the deal for certain people. And you know, like we've said, they've come in second place a lot of the time. He was involved in the Shohei thing. Now, if he is the one leading this stuff, does that make a difference? I would hope so, and the Giants have to hope so, or else they may have gone a different route in who's kind of running this team. And so I hope that they believe and he believes that he's going to be beneficial in that aspect, because if not, then I'm not then your excuses of why Farhan wasn't able to seal the deal are gone, and you're just like, oh well, maybe it's us, maybe it's not Farhan, maybe it's us. And so Buster, I think Buster's gonna have to have some wins very early on. Juan Soto is out there in one of the articles that I read, I think it was Susan Slusser, she talked to Kevin Franson, San Jose's own Kevin Franzen,
SJSU baby,
and he was talking about how he thinks now with Buster there, like they have a better shot at Juan Soto. And you know, we you and I don't really believe that they have the greatest shot at Juan Soto, but anything could change. You know, it's probably Yankees, and then wherever the Giants fall is depending on, you know, who you talk to. If the Mets are involved, then I don't know if they can outbid the Mets. But anyway, he is going, you know, in order for Buster to show his worth early on, it is going to have to be in that free agent market because of his ability to sell people on what he believes is the right philosophy for this team. He's got the old school manager if he wants him, right? He's got Bob Melvin basically saying, I'm not going to play all these young guys because we owe it to baseball to be competitive against these playoff teams. And so thus, you know, Marco Luciano gets sent out early on, you know, before the season's even over. He doesn't even get those ABs. And then, and this is what we'll talk about, Blake Snell. You know, my autocorrect, as I was writing my notes, I just realized, changed it to Blake Smell.
I saw that. I was like, oh, no, is that a shot?
So Blake Snell was supposed to start one of the games against the Cardinals to end the season, and he was just like, nah, I'm good. And yeah. I look at it and I go, okay, I get it. I understand why. But at the same time, Giants paid this dude $32 million to make 20 starts. He could have made one more start, and he and Melvin could have agreed, okay, I'm just going to throw three innings. That's just what I'm doing. I'll throw three innings. I'll get out of there. We'll bring in, you know, Len Roop or whomever, and they can, you know, pitch the innings. Trevor McDonald, who had his major league debut. Nope. He's like, I'm good. I'm going to clean out my locker, get ready for free agency. I thought that was so Bush League. Now, we are not tied to Blake Snell in any way. He's a one-year guy. I loved watching him pitch the second half of the season. It wasn't quite Lincecum, because Lincecum has a charisma that Blake Snell doesn't care about. Like, it's not part of who Blake Snell is. Like, Lincecum has a certain charisma that makes you just root for him. You kind of want to throw your body in front of a train for Lincecum, and Blake Snell does not have that. It's kind of the opposite. You kind of want to push him in front of the train. But the guy was dominant. He was absolutely dominant. And for him to go out there at the end, after they just bent over backwards for him the entire season, and for him to go, no, I'm good. I was so bothered. And that might be like the old school in me. But man, I was frustrated about that.
Yeah. I didn't know how to take that when I first saw it. I thought, okay, yeah, I get it. Because he doesn't want to, you know, take a comebacker off the face and all of a sudden. Yeah. How it's like, you know, or, you know, tweak his arm a little bit, and now there's questions going into the offseason because and again, you can't see him make another start. So if he goes out there and he throws three innings and he leaves because he's my hip, or guy's got a, you know, a history of injuries, he was falling apart earlier in the season, the whole groin thing, all of that. So I kind of took it at first as like, oh yeah, I think I get it, but as the days went on, I looked at it more and thought, I mean, is that just a way right there to say I'm not signing with the Giants again because I don't need to pitch for them anymore?
Yeah.
I don't need to show them anything else. I'm taking my talents elsewhere. I'm kind of done here. The fans are great. Season didn't end up how we wanted it to end. So I'm going to go do something else.
Yeah. Don't you want the Giants in on the bidding?
Yeah.
You want everybody in on the bidding because it just jacks your price up. This is a team who was like, hey, we're your fallback plan. If you don't get the big bucks, we're still going to pay you a good number, and you're going to come pitch for us for a year. We're going to work with you through the highs and lows. You throw three innings, you don't feel great. Yeah, fine. We'll throw a bullpen game for the rest of the game for you. I would think if you just went through an offseason where you had all of these teams go, thanks, but no thanks, we're not sure about you, that the team that said, hey, we're going to do all of this stuff for you, I would think that you would utilize that and say, you know what? I'm taking that ball and I'm going to pitch for you guys because I want you guys to have enjoyed your experience, and I want you guys in on these negotiations so that you will, you know, you will be in the mix for my services. I just thought it was such a short-sighted thing. And this could be an agent thing. You know, we talked about Boris and we talked about how Montgomery was like, gosh, that was like a mistake. And and then Snell coming to his defense, I was like, oh, he did great by me, even though I didn't get the deal I was looking for. We'll see if Blake gets the deal that he's looking for this offseason, then maybe Boris is great. And if he doesn't, then maybe he may feel a little bit more like Montgomery. But man, I just, if the Giants, if that offended the Giants and they're like, you know what, we're out on the Blake Snell thing, I would not blame them.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no.
Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Yeah, I think you have to look at that, though, as a business decision. And I think the Giants will look at that as a business decision.
I think they will, too.
Yeah, and I think and the nice thing about having Buster up there now at the top and then the trickle down and from what you've seen from the Johnsons today, or one Johnson today, the things we've seen is basically a kind of a veiled criticism of themselves and of Farhan to basically say, look, we tried the whole building the farm system while staying competitive and not tearing things down and starting over on a rebuild. We tried all of that and it sucked. So now we're going to go a different direction. And I feel like that different direction is going to be, we're going to open up the pocketbooks. We're going to go crazy. We've seen other teams that open up the pocketbooks and get those names in there. I mean, the list of the top selling jerseys came out today in the top 20. There's not one San Francisco Giant player in it, but the top three are players. Well, the top three are the players that the Giants have missed out on. And it goes Shohei, Judge, Harper, and then number four is Juan Soto, who's up now. So,
but you told me five was Conforto, right?
Yeah, number five was Conforto. No, number five was Wade Meckler. No. So the fourth highest, grossing jersey of the season is coming to free agency. And I think Giants brass season, not only can we win, but we could put people in the seats and we can also make money. If we're trying to build the farm system and then get, Haniger and Conforto and Alex Cobb and this and that, that's cool and all. And maybe you can compete and maybe you can sneak into that sixth wild card spot. But I think the Giants are, I think there's a little bit of jealousy going on from watching everybody. I mean, here, Padres are back in. Dodgers are always in. Diamondbacks missed it by one game. I mean, We're talking, the poor National League West. No, who cares? Screw them. So, they were going to get, 7,000 people a game anyway. So it's not like they're going to fill the stadium if they had a playoff game. Half of the crowd would have been for the other team, especially if it was the Mets. If the Mets went to, Arizona, then who knows? But either way, I think the Giants, ownership has seen that. And they said, hey, look at what the National League West is doing, man. They're starting to just kind of, everybody's building and we're just kind of cruising along, trying to grab that number six spot and sneak into the playoffs. That's not going to do it. So I think that this move was partially because of that, to say, look, we tried the Farhan philosophy. It didn't work. We're not doing a rebuild, but we're taking the youth that we now have. Thank you, Farhan, for that. Some of the youth, we appreciate it. Now we're going to build through free agency trades. We're going to go out there and we're going to get these guys. Don't be shocked if Bryce Eldridge is a trade piece.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Giants want to win now,
I would actually be shocked, but I see what you're saying.
I wouldn't be shocked, because if you're looking at a team that keeps winning – 80 to 81 to 82 games a year, and you say, if we went out and got two or three pieces with this youth and Jung-Hoo Lee coming back, and we can get some good pitching, we can push this team into San Diego Padres territory. I mean, and grabbing the number two, number three spot in the playoffs, number four spot in the playoffs. I think that's what the Giants have to look at right now and say, well, we can keep building for the next 4 or 5 years and maybe get there. But I think they're kind of tired of that philosophy.
I've been waiting for this human being to come into our chat here. Haruku. Yes, we have a new chapter. Let's see how it goes. And then he went on to diss Matt Chapman and call him Matt Crapman.
That's on brand.
Yeah, I love it. I love the passion. Haruku represents the lunatic fringe for Thompson.
I like it. Hey, man, that's good. We got to have both on this show. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I wanted to talk about a couple things. So Chapman wins the Willie Mack Award, which is an award that is, I believe, voted on by his teammates. Of course, the great Willie McCovey is the reason why the award exists. So the I just looked, the leaders in baseball WAR, Aaron Judge, 10.8. It's funny. He's an 11.7 for offensive WAR, but he's a negative in the defensive WAR. So he takes a little bit of a hit. Bobby Witt Jr., 9.4. And we'll talk about this in a second, but man. Baltimore and Kansas City as a playoff series, it's great for like young players in baseball.
Oh, for
Bobby
sure.
Witt and Gunner and Holiday, yeah. And oh, that's
it. All starts to, I'm so excited that we got four games tomorrow.
Yeah.
Four playoff games tomorrow. Yeah.
Really cool.
I love the new
four. Shohei, Gunnar Henderson, Jaron Duran, Juan Soto, and then Matt Chapman in the WAR leaders. Now, Matt Chapman's defense is really what brings him to the table. Jacob Duran, also the defense, ranks him a lot higher. I think Chapman was like maybe when it comes to defensive WAR, at least in the top 50, he was in like the top five for defensive WAR. So while he's never going to be that number four hitter, that number three hitter, in the middle of the lineup, I think as a number six hitter, I think is going to be able to be a good piece to that offense. And so the question is can we get the number three hitter and the number four hitter? That is going to be Buster Posey's job right there because, Matt Chapman shows his value on the defensive side and he can hit. I think he had extra base hits or whatever that statistics was Brandon Belt's 2021 season. He had more extra base hits than Belt in that season, which was the previous high for Giants of late. So I liked that he won it. It kind of came all, it crystallized for him this year. We were hoping that he was going to be a long-term piece for this team because he kind of fits the identity of what we believe the Giants are and why we love the Giants. And he signed the deal. He's a Buster guy, it seems like. So I think that is a nice piece to bring back. You got Buster back. You got Jung-Hoo Lee back. You got Elliot Ramos back. Maybe we do something with Fitzgerald. You got this young pitching. This is what you're selling your team on. And now Buster's job is to add to that. And, we're going to see one of the things about the playoffs and the postseason is you really get to see which of the franchises are really hitting it out of the ballpark. And I mentioned Kansas City and Baltimore because they have made quite the turnaround. Like the problem with the Giants, and this is probably because they just didn't want that park to be empty. The Giants never completely bottomed out into a 100 loss season. That was a kind of against what they wanted. They always right. want to kind of be in the mix. There are positives and negatives of that. Negatively, you don't get to draft a Jackson Holiday or a Bobby Witt. Though you did get an opportunity to draft a Joey Bart. Didn't turn out quite like a Bobby Witt Jr. But you know, those teams bottomed out, and now you get to see the how the smart franchise stuff that happened to those teams. So that I'm very interested to see if they take that next leap. You know, the what did the Orioles get to? Did they get to the ALCS last year?
The Orioles, you know, let me look at last year's bracket.
I know they got beat by the Rangers. I just can't remember what round it was in.
I think that was, let's see, the ALCS was Houston and Texas.
Okay, yeah, that's
remember,
right.
Remember, that was,
so,
yeah.
So
that
they
was
lost the, in the round right before that.
Dusty and Bruce. So, yeah, they lost the round before that. And Diamondbacks aren't there. Marlins aren't there. But the Phillies, Brewers, Dodgers, Braves, they're all back in. So that's and that's what you want is the consistency. So to get a guy like Matt Chapman, I know he drove in 70 runs. Elio Ramos drove in 70 plus runs as well. So there's two guys, and then you bring, you know, Yaz back, who hit 18 home runs. And I like Yaz in right field. Again, if you get Juan Soto, fantastic. That's your right fielder. Yaz in right field, Jung-Hoo Lee in center, and then, you know, Elliot Ramos in left. You got a fairly decent outfield defense, and you got some pop all around. You got some guys to get on base. But then you got to add the pieces around a guy like Chapman. So Chapman's just a start, and I think that's what, you know, probably management saw, and they saw Buster Posey be able to pull off that deal in the end, and they were like, hey, man, if you know what it takes to win and you can close a deal like that, you know, let's get more Chapmans on this roster. I know Haruka is not going to like that.
Yeah, he's not happy. He's still talking about the 6-year contract. And yeah. To Haruka's point, the last year or two, that contract may not be great. It may not. But at that point, what's $25 million going to be in 6 years? It's not going to be that high of a level of a salary.
Right. And when you sign deals like that, you sign a guy to deals like that, you're not going to get the deal done unless you add those last years into it. And that's pretty much how it goes. I mean, look at the end of Correa's deal. It's not going to be great for Minnesota. Look at the end of, you know, Harper's deal in Philly. The guy is injury prone. He's going to get hurt, but the end of his deal is not going to be pretty. Is the end of Aaron Judge's contract going to be pretty? Absolutely not. And whatever the end of Blake Snell's next contract is going to be is also not going to be pretty. And the majority of these deals are not towards the end of it, and that's just kind of the way it is.
I love Bryce Harper. He is 30th in WAR this year, and he's playing a position that you could throw anybody at in first base. So, yeah, like, you know, you have to take those things into context too, which is why whenever anyone said, let's move Buster to third base, I was like, no, because his value is behind the plate. Even if he doesn't hit, his value is behind the plate. So that is something you have to take into account is you paid Bryce Harper to be an outfielder, then he's got the throwing problems. Now you move him to first base. Yeah, first base is probably the least valuable defensive position on the team. All right, a couple other things. We did some preseason predictions.
Yes,
and
we did.
You brought them back out to see how we did with those preseason predictions. I don't even remember what we talked about. So this is going to be like almost like it's brand new for me.
I stayed away from them all season long. I did not want to look at them again until this morning. And so that's what I did. You and I, so I chose 5 predictions for us. You and I chose the same for each prediction. So this is going to be, I mean, so, you know, we're going to tie no matter what. We're going to tie. It's just the way it is. So the first prediction that we did, beginning of the season. Again, this was preseason. I think we're about a week out from the season starting. I said, yes or no, the Giants will be a top 6 seed in the National League at the All-Star break. They were 3 games out of the number 6 seed. And we both said yes. So we both blew that one.
Ah.
Yeah. The next one, over under, will the Giants get 99.5 stolen bases, over or under? Both of us said under. We were correct. The Giants finished with 68 stolen bases.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Now, if the Giants, now let's say Jung-Hoo Lee is there, McCray comes up sooner, Fitzgerald gets more playing time earlier in the season, there's a chance where, you know, we bypass the 99.5, but it didn't happen. That's an alternate universe. We both said under, but
what if Buster Posey's just like, you know what, we're bringing back all of the 2010 Giants to be coaches. Andres Torres, you can wear your tight jeans. You're our base running coach.
But don't forget the sequin jacket. You have to bring the sequin jacket. But that's exactly what George Conto said in an interview today, like an emergency show that they did, him and Pavs, Alex Pavlovich. And Conto did say, don't be surprised. You might see Brandon Crawford back at spring training. You might see Brandon Belt back at spring training. These guys are going to, you know, help out on some drills and do some different things. And yeah, Contos did mention that it was a shame that when Kapler took over and Farhan was there, they took down a lot of the 2010, 12, and 14 pictures and all the different things that were in the hallway and the clubhouse and the workout rooms. They took all that stuff down and said, we're moving forward. But
you know, it's got to be tough to be compared to that stuff constantly.
It's got to be tough, but you got to look at it and say, hey, that's something to strive for.
Yeah, that's the goal. This is what we're shooting for.
That's the goal. And in baseball, that's the goal, to lift that trophy at the end of the year and, you know, pour beer on each other and then have an awkward interaction with the Ford truck guy like Bumgarner did after 2014. I still go back and watch that video. Pretty good stuff. So number three, over under 20.5 starts for Kyle Harrison. He got 24. We both said over, so we got that one right.
There we go.
This one is tricky.
We would have lost on the Blake Snell, though, if it was over.
Yeah, if we would have said 20.5 starts and we said over, we would have. Nope, didn't get there. This one, I'm going to need your help scoring this one.
Okay.
You're going to have to tell me, how do we score this one?
Okay.
Okay. Over under 65.5 home runs for Chapman, Conforto, and Soler. So how do we score this one? 65.5 home runs for those guys. You and I both said over, right? Chapman hit 27. Conforto hit 20. Soler hit 12 with the Giants.
Yeah.
That puts us at 59. That's an under. You and I both said over, right? Add the 9 home runs he hit with the Braves. We're at 68. We're over. You and I both said over. How are we scoring this one?
If we say that we're over on this one, do we have over a 500 record?
We do.
Okay, then let's go with that.
Okay, all right. I put it green. I put it green. We got that one right. We went over 68 home runs. Over under was 65.5. We both said over, so we're good on that. This one, neither one of us got. Over under 85.5 wins.
Ah.
You said 87. I said 89. Of course, we finished with 80 wins. We were both ambitious. But again, we didn't have Jung-Hoo Lee. We got a lot of injuries. A lot of different things happened. We could have been close to that. You know, you look at it. You look at it and you say, if the Giants would have gotten 9 more wins this season, they would have been a playoff team. That's the bottom line. So 9 wins. I know that's a lot of wins, but you look at, you know, you could probably go back into the schedule and find 9 games that the Giants had in the bag, but blew it late in the game or needed a bases loaded single in the 9th to win it, or, you know, little things here and there. You could find 9 of those, but you could also find 9 games that the Giants probably won that they shouldn't have.
And all those extra inning games that they last at bat games or whatever.
Yeah. So we finished 3-2, but I do have a bonus, but go ahead.
Okay. No, go for it.
Oh, I do have a bonus. So we did a Bleacher Report show.
Yes.
I just have my 3 predictions. I did 2 regular and 1 bold prediction. I blew it on all 3 of these. So I was 0 for 3. top three Rookie of the Year finalists. I said, we're going to have three people in the top three. It is either going to be or one person in the top three. It's either going to be Harrison, Jung-Hoo Lee, or Matos, or possibly Luciano. It's not going to be either of those guys.
No.
Tyler Fitzgerald, I said he was going to steal 25 bases. He did not. He stole 17 bases. Again, a little bit more playing time. Maybe
not bad.
25.
That's not bad.
Pretty close. My bold prediction, and this one I just put, ha, 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 no, as I scored it. The Giants are going to grab the number four seed. They're going to be the first wild card. That goes to the Padres. They did that, not us. So there you go.
Hey, man. We were more optimistic, which is how you want.
Yeah,
your giant stuff to be because we will tell it like it is if it's not. So
I mean, for sure,
that's what we've been doing all year.
I'll bring out all my predictions and tell you how bad they were. I have no problem with that.
So. All right. Two small things before we get out of here. The postseason for Major League Baseball, we have Detroit, which is a great story, as the sixth seed. Against the Astros as the third seed. We have Kansas City Royals as the fifth seed, the Baltimore Orioles as the fourth seed. That is the series that I'm going to circle and make sure that I get to watch some of. The Mets and the Braves split today's doubleheader, so they both made the playoffs. The Mets as a sixth seed. They face the Brewers as the third seed, and the Braves play the Padres. I don't have a good feeling about what is going to happen here. I know what I want to happen. Like, I'd love to see the Tigers get past the Astros, because we're just like, man, the Astros again, like,
yeah,
all the time. Like, I could be fine seeing the Tigers get in there, but you know, Kansas City and Baltimore, that's going to be so exciting. The Padres, they had their opportunities against the Dodgers and they fell short, but still they're a really good baseball team. The Brewers kind of under the radar against the Mets, who kind of fall into the playoffs versus actually going and taking it to an extent. So do you have any thoughts on any of those wild card series as far as what you want to see or who you think's going to win or who's maybe underrated?
My first thought is, in the American League playoffs, there are no West Coast teams.
Yes.
they're all over in the National League. There's two of them, I should say, the Dodgers and Padres. I want to see some old school matchups. I'm with you. I want to see some old school matchups. I want to see Detroit beat Houston, and I want to see Detroit and Cleveland. Actually, do they reseed? Because if they reseed, then we would be looking at Detroit.
I don't think so, because I'm looking at the...
I thought they did. I thought they changed that.
I'm looking at the bracket, and it looks like it's a static bracket, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I hope they change that to reseeding, but I'm not 100% sure. But I would love to see Detroit and Baltimore get in, because Baltimore and the Yankees, if that ended up being a series, that would be a blast of a series. That would be a lot of fun. Yeah, I think that's what I want to say. Kansas City, I think their time is going to be there. I think Bobby Witt Jr. is going to lead that team to the playoffs for a few years in a row. Salvi Perez, is this his last shot in the playoffs?
Yeah.
It's possible. But Detroit's got that young team. Scooble is just ridiculous on the mound.
Triple Crown.
Triple Crown. And then I think after that, well, I won't get into it after that. I'll just talk about wild card.
We'll get into that next
week. Next round when we get there. But yeah,
I am just thinking of the Atlanta Padres series. Who's got the best shot to beat the Dodgers? That's all I care about.
Yeah. That's all that matters. I mean, so if the Mets win and they beat Milwaukee, I wonder if they go to LA. I'm going to have to look that up. I got to look that up. Go ahead and talk about the National League, because that's...
Yeah, I think the Padres probably have the best opportunity to beat them. They've beat them before, but at the same time, they can be such a flaky team. And the Braves, the Braves didn't have as good of a year. They had to deal with a lot of injuries too, but they have a little bit of that pedigree where you're like, I kind of feel, I'm like more confident in them, but I think the Padres are a better team, so... It's just all of it is super interesting. And this best of three series, I'm still not used to it. It's just so wacky to me. That first round best of three. But yeah, so we will, we'll have a lot to talk about this off or this postseason. And, it's like who beats the Dodgers. That's all I really care about.
Yeah. So there is no reseeding, and the reasoning for that, just quickly looked it up, is because this way the Dodgers are the number one seed. The Yankees are the number one seed. If both the 5 and 4 seeds are wild card teams, the 3 seed is a division winner. So this way the number one seed will not face a division winner.
So
they guarantee that by keeping it. So there is no reseeding. So you're right. So we could see another Dodgers Padres series. That one was absolutely outstanding 2 years ago. And I don't know if the Braves really have what it takes to take on.
Probably not, but there's a savviness to that baseball team. The last thing before we get out of here, not too long before we actually went live, we got the news from TMZ of all places that the Hit King, Pete Rose, passed away today. Pete Rose, I would say, pre 1987, I only had good thoughts about Pete Rose,
right?
And post that time frame, I almost only have bad thoughts about Pete Rose. And it's kind of crazy how the conversation about him changed. And a lot of it has to do with the betting, of course, and him lying and all that. You know, he was covering his own butt, which did not work, as I don't think anybody would have thought it would have worked. But then there were all these stories about him having sexual relationships with younger people, statutory rape, that kind of stuff that, you know, happened in the 70s. And his answers to those things were a little off. And really, the end of his life was really a negative thing. Like, he was a very famous baseball player, and then he became very infamous. And then at the end of his life, he was even more infamous. And Max had a documentary. I think it's a 4-parter. I only could get through the first part. I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore because this guy's not a good person. Like, I can't fathom watching this dude, you know, prop up Donald Trump and, you know, just talk, just be a liar and not have really any, you know, no conscience about the lying that he did. And just the way that he talked about certain things, like, I just like, I can't do it. So I didn't end up finishing it. And it's really weird because if I would have, I want to say non-Giants players when I was little, like really little, I can remember my dad telling me about Pete Rose and Nolan Ryan. Like, those guys stand out in my childhood memories of what baseball was of non-Giants guys. Maybe Ozzie Smith too, because he would do the backflips on the infield. Yeah. But to think that, you know, Pete Rose passes away, and I'm like, probably better for him. He probably should have died a while ago because his reputation just took a hit so much. His legacy may have been a little bit better. But yeah, I have mixed feelings about this passing. Now, Dikembe Mutombo, 58 years old, that one made me really sad. Former NBA All-Star Dikembe, everyone remembers when his Denver Nuggets beat the number one Seattle Supersonics in the playoffs. Like, I had really like just thought, oh man, way too soon. And then you hear about Pete Rose and I'm like, man, I don't really have great memories or great thoughts today of Pete. But how did that news hit you when you saw it?
Yeah, that was kind of interesting too, because I same with you. I've watched the first episode of the documentary and I'm meaning to go back to it because I'd like to watch the rest of it. You know, because I
Bob it's baseball.
Costas. Yeah, it's baseball. And Bob Costas really just kind of dares into him during the documentary. And you know, Johnny Bench wanted nothing to do with
it. Oh, my gosh. Guys, hates God, that guy.
Like each other. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, it's kind of the same thing. It's one of those things that, you know, I remember, you know, being in seventh grade or whatever it was, maybe sixth grade, seventh grade, and doing current events. And they always said, well, you can't pick sports.
Yeah. Why not? Why?
Can't yeah, I know. But I did. I said to hell with it, because the day before current events were due, it was due on a Friday, and I think it was like a Thursday night, he passed Ty Cobb. So yeah. I was like, I'm doing this. So I wrote, you know, the teacher's like, it's fine. That's a big story. You could do that. Yeah. It couldn't be like, hey, the Giants beat the Braves night, 4-3. So yeah, I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. Growing up, Pete Rose was there. He wasn't Charlie Hustle when I was growing up. Cause again, I, you know, was 10 years old in 1983. Then yeah. I was, you know, a 13 in 1986 when, cause it was 86, 87 when he passed. Was it 87 when he passed Ty Cobb?
I think so. That sounds
yeah. Right. I think it was, yeah, I think it was 1987. So I was like 14 years old. So he wasn't quite Charlie Hustle at that time. He was the manager. I mean, yeah. He was the player manager who we were like, oh, this is really cool. You could be a player and a manager at the same time. So that was pretty exciting. But yeah, and then 1989, when everything broke, I was 16 years old, and you know, you could just, I still remember the day, you know, hey, ESPN on and A. Bartlett Giamatti standing there and saying basically, and it was right before the All-Star break, basically saying, you know, he's banned from baseball, not eligible for the Hall of Fame, you know, all this other stuff. And I'm thinking, man, this is huge. I don't know if I'd ever seen anything like that as a kid. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that since. When it comes to baseball and the sport and gambling and everything else. So yeah, I don't know. This is, it's always sad when somebody passes, especially a, you know, a giant in the sport of baseball. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the guy was, he had his demons, man. And, you know, I think the most shocking thing from the first, from watching the documentary was that he didn't drink. I thought with all this other stuff he had going on, I would have thought there would have been some stories about him being like, you know, go out, rage or party, all this stuff.
Yeah.
No, he went to the nightclubs to find the bookies after the games is what he did. You know, he was looking for that. So, but yeah, you know, rest in peace, Pete. But polarizing figure in the game of baseball,
you know, but it's a thing. As we get older and as information is more available, a lot of people who, when we were younger, were kind of heroic, they don't die as heroes. They die as very problematic people. And maybe it's always been like that, but I just feel like with so much more information out there now, and I'm glad the information is out there. You don't want to think that this person was like, you know, this great person is not really a great person. So, but you know, that's just the way things go. And it's also scary with we've had a few more deaths of recent memory. Beverly Hills Cop, the passing of who's the cop? Beverly Hills Cop, they had the two cops that Axel Foley.
Oh, the bald guy with the mustache.
Yeah, what was his name?
Oh, did he pass?
He just passed the other day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All I can think of is Taggart. And
It's Taggart. Yeah, it's Taggart.
It is Taggart. Okay.
Yeah, it's Taggart. Yeah. He passed away. Well, yeah, away. I
mean, Chris Christopherson.
I met Chris Christopherson.
Did you really?
His son, Jody, was a professional wrestler.
I was
at an event because one of my friends was wrestling. So I went to go to the event and he was wrestling Chris Christopherson's son. That's and crazy. So Chris is there. And this is probably like 6 or 7 years ago. And Chris is there and I got to see him and I got to say hi to him and I got to meet him, which was really cool.
Oh, wow. That was probably like the beginning-ish of his dementia, I think, right around that time, too. So it's good that he got to see his son wrestle.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's Willie is the last highwayman left. We lost, you know, Johnny Cash and Waylon and now Chris Christopherson. And so the last highwayman is Willie. I never got to see Chris, but I did see Merle Haggard live. I saw, who else did I see? Oh, I've never seen, I think, oh, and, I don't know. I've seen a lot of people live, but Willie Nelson is one that I wanted to see before he passes, but he doesn't really travel through here anymore. He did come through Reno a couple times, but now he's not. And so, I don't,
does he still perform live?
He still performs. I mean, he put out an album, I would say like 2 months ago. That was really cool. It's kind of old school, you know, about living on the border of, you know, Mexico and the United States and everything else. And, you know, it was really good. Some really good story songs.
Where does he actually live?
He lives in Texas.
Okay, so you would have to go to Texas somewhere to see him perform.
Probably somewhere in the South. You'd have to go around like Texas, Tennessee, you know, Kentucky, maybe somewhere around there. But I think he still goes out now and then, but it's not a big tour. Still smoking his weed though.
That's probably what's keeping him alive.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. A little bit longer show than usual. We had so much stuff to cover.
Oh yeah.
You know, we don't usually take a lot of time off because there's a lot of Giants news. But, you know, this offseason, we may take some weeks off, but we'll be here through the playoffs and such. Yeah. But lots of stuff going on with this Buster Posey story. So I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
The day wrote itself for us. Mm-hmm. I'll just say that.
Absolutely. Perfect on a Monday, too, because that's when we record. All right. For Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.